Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited for this bonus episode today. It certainly is a bonus indeed, because it is a delight to have been able to speak to Anna Kai. She is unbelievable. I found her, well, you'll hear all about her. Before we get into Anna, I know we just spoke on Sunday, but I wanted to do a little bit of an intro to this episode, a solo about sex drive, because this came up on our episode with Sophia, and I was like, women have higher sex drives than men. Like, what do you think about this? And she was like, I don't know, like, if I agree. But you guys reached out to me like a ton, and you were like, okay, yeah, I do have a higher sex drive than my male partner. Can you please talk about this? I could not agree more. And I'm going to talk about it. And it's so interesting, because you first hear this and you're like, that's just not true. Because you're thinking of like all the guys who, you know, we just think guys are like these horny whatever. And maybe in their early 20s and their teens, like, guys are. But I really do think that as you get older, and in your 30s especially, things change a little bit. And there are reasons for that, right? It's not just like coming out of my ass. I read articles and I have support. So one of the reasons is your hormone levels. Like, our hormone levels as women are changing all the time. So that could be just as simple as like before ovulation, during ovulation, when we have our periods, et cetera, right? It could be from going off the pill, going off birth control, which we're going to do a whole episode dedicated to. And also, like, let's say our male partner doesn't work out and we work out. The more you exercise, the higher your sex drive is. So if you are a woman who exercises more than your male partner, that is a reason that your sex drive could be higher. Another reason is that us as women, like, obviously it's important to, especially in 2023, right, to have a great career and to be successful, but society places that importance way more on men than it does for women, especially when men are in their early 30s, late 20s. Like, their careers should be taking off according to society, right? They should be starting to make money, like, definitely more than, you know, six figures. And the stress of maybe not being where they want to be in their career, or still feeling like they're starting out, or not knowing the future, that releases more cortisol, which negatively impacts their sex drive. So because men have more stress placed on them when it comes to performing between their career and between sex that could diminish their sex drive. So I think when like a young man is budding in his career, it's like, oh yeah, I just want to like go for rounds and, you know, two times a day, three times a day. And then later on, when there's more to count on you for, right? Maybe you have a family that you're trying to start soon, maybe this or that, you're less likely to want to have sex the way that you used to. Obviously, there are other things that come into play, like maybe for men, for example, maybe they're on Propecia or, you know, whatever men take for hair loss and prevention that can have a negative effect of affecting your sex drive, things like that. Whereas women are not usually on those medications, or maybe one or both of you are on antidepressants, SSRIs, which can have the side effect of affecting your sex drive, your libido. And so all of this is really interesting. My non-research finding, just kind of like my own thing, just being vulnerable for a second, is like, I feel like my sex drive is really high, but then I think about it and I'm like, is my sex drive high, or is my validation for myself associated with whether or not my husband wants to fuck me? You know what I mean? Like, I think that is a huge validating thing in a relationship, right? And like, I think for better or worse, I kind of grew up with movies and TV and conversation and blah, 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 making me think that like a man should want to fuck you. And I think because of that, it blurs a line for me. I'm like, do I even want to have sex with my partner right now? Or do I just want him to want to initiate sex with me, to want to have sex with me? You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious if you guys can relate to any of that. But ultimately, I think everything that I just said are reasons why us as women, we may have higher sex drives. I just think that like, as we get older, we need it more than they do, which is ironic because I think that when we're younger, maybe they need it more. We also like, our sex is layered, right? Like if we're coming, we're having orgasms during sex, like we can have multiple orgasms. I think we enjoy sex more as women as we get older because we learn our bodies, whereas sex more or less is like, you know, if you come for a man. For women, it's so much more complex than that. So once we really get to know our bodies and what works for us during sex, that's when we're like, oh yeah, I want to do this all the time. You know, like when we're in our 20s and, you know, late teenage years, when we've just started having sex, like we're not coming from it. We have no idea what the fuck is happening for the most part, right? Like it's unfortunately about the man. And that's not always the case, right? There are some women who are like, I want to come from sex. You know, even though it's my first time, whatever. And good for them. There should be more women like that. But I think that, you know, there's that shift that happens. And I'm interested in what you guys have to say about this. So please slide into the DMs and let me know if you agree or disagree, or just what your thoughts are on your own sex drive and what drives you to have that sex drive. Anyway, I'm very excited for you to hear this episode with Anna, and I also can't wait to hear what you think of that. Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with content creator Anna Kai. Hi.
Hi, I can't believe I'm on We Met at Acme. This is so awesome. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. I will never forget your first video that I ever saw. I was like, oh my God, this girl is so on the money. And I just kept getting tagged in your videos over and over again, being like, oh my God, you need to have her on the podcast. And I'm so happy that we're finally doing this.
This is awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to dive in.
Let's just dive right in. My first question is aggressive. have you ever been in love? You're married, so I'd hope so. But
right. No, actually, no, I have. And I want to say, like,
I feel like a lot of people think that, like, oh, you know, I should say, like, the only person I've ever been in love with is my husband. That's, like, not true. I've been in love, like, 1,000 times. And yeah. I think all of those different types of love were valid. You know, I was in love with my high school boyfriend because mm-hmm. that's what love was to me at the time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm madly in love with my husband now. And I think that's a more mature type of love than, like, in my early 20s. But absolutely, I have been in love.
Yeah. Well, I have to say I did some background research and you are a Libra, so...
Okay, we're almost the same age, I think.
Yes.
Are you 32?
Yes.
I'm 32 and I turned 32 October 5th.
I know. I saw your birthday because I'm a stalker.
I was like, oh, are you September?
September 28th. And oh my gosh. I thought it was so crazy because I feel so aligned with like everything that you say, but also what you just said about how you've been in love so many times and it's valid. I feel like that's like that should be next to the definition of a Libra in the dictionary.
I know, right? It's like we've had many loves
yeah.
at every stage of life.
Exactly. You
know? But yes, 100%. And I don't know anything about astrology. All I know is basically from what I've listened from you.
Right.
So it's like really interesting to hear because I'm like, I don't know what that means. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know what like my sign means versus, you know, what my husband's sign means.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's
we'll do a deep dive. Well, when's your husband's birthday?
June 7th.
Oh, a Gemini.
Oh,
of course. Geminis are obsessed with Libras.
Okay.
It's so funny. Geminis get such a bad rep. And I'm always like defending them, except for like the Kanye's, obviously. Like,
oh,
he
is
deserves
he a Gemini?
It. Yeah.
Oh.
But like most Geminis like have always been so nice to me as yeah. a Libra. So I'm like, I don't have a problem with them, but yeah. I understand why people do.
That is so funny. My husband is like the opposite of
yeah.
Kanye West.
Right. Thank God. I hope so.
I know, right.
Anyway, so let's hear about how you and your husband met. His name is Dave, right?
Yes, his name is Dave.
Again, a stalker over here.
It's all good. I met him on Bumble.
Oh, I love
that. So I had to initiate, which is not usually my thing.
Okay.
Or wasn't my thing. Now, obviously, it's not my thing because I'm married. But I remember he had in his bio, and this was like 5 years ago, and I just feel like dating apps 5 years ago were so much simpler. Like now there's like all these like different, you can add like a voice message. So it was like a 3-line bio. And he said in his bio, he's a condiment lover. So I was like, what's your favorite condiment? And he said hot sauce. And I was like, done. Cool. So that's kind of how the conversation started.
That's amazing. And that's one of my OG things that I tell people to ask because it's so easy. And if they, and even if theirs is like really boring and it's like, I don't know, ketchup, then you can at least make fun of them for that, you know?
I know, it's like really, or like you can make like a snarky. I love your comments to people's texts. It's like the one about the cactus I just saw.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
those are the only pricks in our lives. It's like, you know, if somebody says like ketchup, it's like, well, I'll be the mustard to your ketchup.
Right,
you know,
exactly. Something- like you don't have to be so literal on
right.
these apps. Okay, so you initiated with that. And that mm-hmm. was how long ago?
5 years this May.
Oh, wow.
Just like wild.
That is wild. And so what from then was your timeline, like your trajectory?
So it was like the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. It was just easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe a love in first sight because I lived in New York for 11 years. I don't know any girl who's dated in New York for like 11 years who believes in love at first sight.
Yeah.
But I just immediately felt comfortable at first sight. Because like any straight guy, his dating profile photos were horrible. And I was like, I think he could be cute or he could just be like Quasimodo. And I
yeah.
was like so not looking forward to the date because I was just really tired from work that day. But I was like, I think it's so lame to cancel on a guy like last minute, like 3 hours before the date. So I was like, let me just go. Let's see how it goes. And then, you know, from there, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And like, it was just a very normal progression. Like, he didn't wait 7 days in between like the first date and the second date to text me, but he didn't text me like from morning until night every single day. I feel like there's a happy medium in
right.
like how much you should talk in the beginning. And a lot of times when I look at my previous relationships, things either progress too quickly or they progress like not at all.
Right.
I would say like, you know, we didn't hook up because that's my rule. It's like we didn't hook up until we had the conversation of like, what are we? Are we exclusive and boyfriend, girlfriend? I feel like nowadays it's like people are like, let's be exclusive, but without boyfriend, girlfriend, what I just think is BS.
Exactly.
Like, what is
cosine.
That? Thank you. So that was probably like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months in, we had that conversation. And then 6 months in, we met each other's parents. I met his brother and it was just easy, you
mm-hmm.
know, and like, I think about, I'm like trying to get 2 years in, we moved in together right before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic was so interesting because it hit and everybody's lives were upturned. And we actually went to go live with my parents for 4 months, which was like, when are you going to in your 30s, like
Never.
With your boyfriend, live
Never.
With your parents for
we
4 months?
We did the same thing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you go to Florida or did you?
No, we were in the Hamptons with my parents.
Okay. Which, I mean, if you could survive that.
Yeah.
It's like, it was great. And like my parents are so chill too. I fully understand that like a lot of people don't have like really chill family dynamics, but it was more just like very validating for me that he got so close with my parents because they're also of a different culture, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, oh, this is great. And then, everything's just always been a discussion with the two of us. There's never any like doubt.
Mm-hmm.
We just always talk about everything. So
Yeah. It
was just an easy progression.
I love that. Okay. I have some like detail oriented questions. Are you guys, is he our age?
He's 38.
Okay.
So, I mean, once you hit
mentally,
your 30s, like, mentally
like,
our age,
yeah. Totally.
So it's like a little bit older. I feel like when we first started dating, I was like 27, he was 34. The age discrepancy sounded a lot bigger. But now that we're all in our 30s, it like doesn't really matter, you know, because we're all at the same stage of life.
It's true. And you mentioned him getting along with your parents and like, you know, cultural and understanding their culture and things like that. Were there any cultural differences between you guys that you were like worried about having any issues with?
I just think like because English is not my parents' first language, I was always concerned like how connected he was going to feel to them. And we have just different customs in terms of how like parents interact with their children and everything.
Yeah.
And so it was not at all a thing. You know, I was so glad that like those 4 months really showed me that like he fits in to Chinese culture just as much as I fit into like his family's culture and American culture. So, and I think that's a testament also to my parents in that they're not really overbearing. They're not like the typical, you think of like tiger mom, like, oh, like obviously I'm a content creator. My parents were like super supportive. They never told me, oh, go be a doctor.
You need
to marry an Asian guy who like, you know, is a lawyer or whatever. And so there weren't really. And I think, you know, it's just a testament to kind of how well we all fit together.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I love that. And you talk about how it was like the healthiest relationship that you had been in. What was like the moment, or if there were a series of moments that made you be like, this is the one?
I think it was a series of moments. I remember thinking even on our second date, we went to Ace Hotel and there's a sign at Ace Hotel that says every exit is an entrance to somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I had just gotten out of a relationship like 5 weeks prior to meeting Dave. And it was just like the weirdest like situationship, relationship, whatever. And I was feeling kind of crummy about that situation. But like my way of getting over like men is just like dive right back into the dating scene. Like I don't like taking breaks. I don't need time to heal or reflect. I'm like, I just need a distraction.
You're preaching to the choir.
Okay. Yeah. This is why like we're the same person. I was like, just get back out there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think like the best way to get over a guy is under a guy. Like that's not how but like just go and date, you know? And I just remember reading that sign and I was like, what if this is my entrance to somewhere else? It's so like, you know, cheesy, but like, I just remember seeing it when I went to the bathroom and I was like, this guy could be it. Cause it's so easy. It had just never been that easy, you know? And it was healthy because I think the thing is I'd had so many situations and I feel like every girl in New York has where it's like amazing in the beginning and the guy is like super love mommy. Do you remember like when like we were in our mid-20s, that was not even a term.
No.
Like I was getting love bombed and like destroyed and just being like, what is happening to me?
Yeah, no, we had no terminology in our 20s. Like
that would
love bombing
really
wasn't a term. Gaslighting wasn't a term.
I know.
Like nothing that we went through was validated in any way. They were just like, well, that's dating. Good luck.
Or it's like, well, like, shame on you for getting so attached in like, you know, 2 months. I'm like, no, but this guy was like literally like at my feet for 2 months and now he ghosted me.
Right.
You know?
They're like, well, you shouldn't have showed him that you liked him in any way. And it's like but okay. Yeah.
It's like, all right, like, I'll play hard to get. No.
Right.
So that was like, I remember the first moment when I was like, this guy could be my husband. And I was like looking at that sign and he said, I love you first, which when he said it, I think it was like 6 months in, either like right before or after we like we met each other's families. He started it because I think he was nervous. It was cute. He was like, I have something to tell you. And I was like, oh my God, no. Uh-huh. Are you going to break up with me? I was like, and he's like, I love you. And I was like, my first reaction was like, that's it. Uh-huh. Because I feel like every other time somebody has said, you know, I have something to say to you. We need to talk. It's just been like, we have to break up. And
right,
so I was like,
oh,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, you triggered know, from like the past toxic relationships.
The past like 8,000 men. Yeah
literally. So now you're able to reflect in hindsight's 2020 and say like what toxic shit that you dealt with in the past. And that's a big part of your content that you create, which mm-hmm. I love. And you show so many women out there what they should be, you know, how what they deserve, which is incredible. What was the journey like for you to kind of realize that not only did you have a voice in that way, but to pair it with like a getting ready and doing your makeup, which is such a unique and creative thing. I scrolled back on your Instagram and it looked like you were doing like a little bit of fashion.
It's
before
like
that.
My content creation career has been like all over the place. I feel like everybody else is like a normal trajectory. Like I have actually been trying to like blog content create for like 2 years.
Okay.
Prior to my first like Get Ready With Me dating video. And it just wasn't really working out. Like, you know, I was just like, nobody cares. Like, I'm not good at fashion enough to like stand out. And I remember I was like, I booked a call with a TikTok content strategist because I was like, nothing's working. Like, let me just see what she has to say. And she was like, oh, I think you have the personality where you should talk like to camera and just tell a story. And it was so foreign to me at the time because I was doing like these fashion reels where I was jumping around in all these transitions. And I was like, okay, but like, then you think about, well, what would be interesting? And I've talked to Dave about all of my exes, all of my like crazy dating stories, just because I dated so much. And I feel like you did too. It was like, you know, and he was like, well, why don't you talk about dating? And I was like, okay, I'll talk about my first video was about how I don't, or I, you know, I didn't hook up with men prior to the exclusivity boyfriend girlfriend talk, and it went viral after like 4 hours. And I was like, great, I don't do fashion anymore. I talk about dating. And I've always done my makeup like a very specific way. I taught myself how to do my makeup from YouTube videos. I just, nowadays there's so much diversity and there's so many, you know, there's so many people, makeup artists that show like different faces and like how to do your makeup, especially as like an Asian American woman. When I was growing up, that was not the case. And so like I also grew up in Pennsylvania, so it's not like the most diverse place ever. So I really had to figure out how to do my own makeup. And so I was like, I can do this while I tell a story about dating. And that's kind of how it all started.
It's so cool. Like, first of all, the way that you do your makeup, like I have learned a lot of different things from you. But second of all, like, To have that call with a TikTok strategist and to be told, actually, your personality is like the winner here. Like, you need to showcase your personality. That's such a compliment.
I know, but it was like, you know, I always knew because like I am who I am on TikTok versus like real life. Like, I feel like I've heard stories of people like, oh, I met this influencer in person and like they're totally different. Like, I don't know how to be anything other than myself, but it's like, you know who you are and like, you just don't think anybody else is going to care, you know?
Right.
I was like, I know I'm like extroverted and I'm talkative and like I have all these dating stories, but like, who cares?
Right.
You know? So I was like, maybe that was the push. It was the push I needed. It was the catalyst.
Definitely. And I feel like TikTok especially is a place that if you aren't like necessarily appreciated in your day to day for being like outgoing and telling these stories, like TikTok is a place to really get that appreciation, because you realize when you create content that like most people, I don't want to say are boring, because like that's not my intention, but they're not willing to like say the things that you or myself said. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think it's just human nature to care about what other people think. And especially when you're pursuing a really unconventional path in life, it's like, I'm sure when you started a podcast, people in your life were like, and you started a podcast before like talking about dating and relationships was like really a thing. I'm sure people were like, okay, like this is what you went to like be you for. Cool.
They were like, you will never, ever find a guy. Like no one will ever want to be with you if you're out here talking about your sex life.
I know.
What is this, like a porno? Like, my parents were freaking out.
I know. They're like, oh, this is what we sent you to school for and everything. And like, I just feel like so much of what stopped me from talking about the issues that matter to me, dating, relationships, and really women's issues, were because I was just so deathly afraid in the beginning. I was like, oh my God, but I'm like, I'm friends with like my mother-in-law on Instagram. And like, you know, now she's like one of my biggest supporters. It's like, I don't even know like, you know, what I was afraid of, but it's like it's just hard to put yourself out there and to, you know, I think the voices in our own heads are so much more damaging than the voices that other people actually, you know, speak to us.
Oh, 1000%. This episode is supported by one of my favorite products that keep me on track, my Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day, to the point where I was just in Florida and brought my travel packs, which are so clutch, because sometimes I'm like, am I taking too big of a scoop, too little of a scoop? It's all portioned out. You literally just pour the travel pack into a glass of water and you stir it. You can add in some ice, a straw, whatever you're into, and drink it up. I like to do it every morning before my workout or after my workout, depending on if I wake up ravenous or if I wake up with no appetite yet. And I really, really love it. I really love it because it tastes great. And it's just literally one scoop that does so much for me. Like, if you don't know about AG1, then you need to get involved. Each scoop is packed with 75 minerals, vitamins, and whole food source ingredients of the highest quality that give major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. There's a reason that every time I go to a friend's house, I find Athletic Greens in their cabinet. And I'm like, oh, same. We're all doing this. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/acme. That's athleticgreens.com/acme. Check it out. I think you're really going to love it, and it can be part of your routine as well. Going back to your first video and your content, what was the most surprising to you in terms of like, you were like, well, duh, this is obvious that you should, you know, get a gift on your birthday. But everyone like responded and was like, oh my God, I had no idea, you know?
You know, my most viral video is the Learn to Leave video, where I talk about how like, you know, you really should, as a woman, learn to step away from a relationship that does not serve you, even if you are in love with a guy. And I was just shocked at the response to that. And how many people have DM'd me since then being like, that was the video that like made me leave my husband, my, you know, fiance. It was the kick in the pants that I need, or kick in, is that the phrase? I don't know.
I'm always kick in the butt.
I kick in the butt. I'm always screwing these up, Dave. It's always like, you're always making up your own little like, you know, phrases. I just uploaded that video because, you know, and I think there's a common misconception that I left that guy in that video. I did not. I was dumped by him, but then in a very weird way, he wanted to continue to take me. So he wanted to date me non-exclusively, and I let him. And then ultimately I ended that. So he left, then I left. It was very strange. But I think I made that video because I was just like, I just wish I would have listened to that intuition that I think all women have, like our inner voice that says, this is like probably not it, because it's so taxing and I'm spending all my free time thinking about this. But, you know, I had to learn so many things the hard way. And I think that's why I make these videos, because I'm like, if other people don't have to, if they leave before they spend 9 months with the guy and, you know, 8 of those months, I knew it wasn't it, then that's worth it to me.
Yeah. 100,000%. This one we kind of talked about, but like, when did you realize the truths that you preach? Was it during these relationships that you were in at the time, but you just like didn't want to face it? Or was it only like after and now being in this happy relationship?
I think it was a process. It was all throughout my 20s. I was undervaluing myself, you know, settling. And I just realized every time I did that, every time I didn't live my truth, you know, something would happen. And either I would, you know, the guy would break up with me, or I would just get to a point. There were a couple guys I dated who were really, really good guys. And I dated them because, you know, you talk about the 90-10 thing. It's like, but I knew they were never going to leave me.
Yeah.
And like, there was something really comforting about that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't necessarily because I was like, this is the end all be all. It's just, I'm going to have you forever. And that's really nice because there was a huge part of me in my 20s that I did not believe I deserved a man who I was attracted to and who also wanted to stay with me. I just, you know, it's so crazy to think that. But like every time I got to a point where, you know, I was dating a guy for almost 2 years and I was just looking like down, like, you know, I was like, is this the rest of my life? Because I can't do this if this is. It's just sort of like you lose the will to like create something cool with like your partner because they're just not it, you know? And it's right. just, I was like, well, there were a couple guys I dated when I was younger where I knew like they wanted me to be a stay-at-home mom and a housewife and I would have been really taken care of. And there's something really alluring about that too, but like, that's not what I wanted. And I knew I was going to have a weird, crazy trajectory with my career. I didn't know what was going to come of it. I was like, I could be the biggest failure ever, but I need to go out and do these things. And if I marry a guy who only really wants me to be at home, like I'm going to be 80 and really regretting my entire life.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Facts. What do you think? And I know that you have like some rules of your own and I want to hear them, mm-hmm. but what do you think of just like point blank men should pay for all dates?
Okay. This is my own personal rule and everything I say is not gospel. Like I think there's so much nuance to every situation. I never pay on dates and I got to a point where I don't even reach. And I know that comes off entitled and it probably is, but I believe that coming off entitled to a guy is more important than coming off false because I have I don't want to pay, right? My whole thing was like, I don't want to pay. I don't feel like I should have to. Oh my God, I can hear the trolls now. But so if I reach, it just felt like inauthentic to me. And quite honestly, like nobody cared. I mean, nobody that I went on a date with was like offended by it or was like, how are we splitting this or whatever. And so I do think the guy should pay at least on the first few dates. It's just something that's important to me. Now, that being said, I have girlfriends who believe in 50-50 and they're in happy relationships. And so it's all about the type of person you are, the type of person you're trying to date. And so it's not a hard and fast rule. But for me, I was like, if a guy makes a big stink about paying for like two drinks the first date, like he's not my guy.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. Never. I disagree in the dating portion of like when you're first dating with someone, I feel like you should going on the first couple of dates and whatever. I feel like you should always offer. But
right.
if you're dating the same guy consistently, like let's say like you go on the first date, you kind of. And by the way, when I say offer, I yeah. do mean be empty handed about this offer. I don't care. But I don't care about being fake. I'll be fake as fuck.
I love that.
I will do like, okay, we're on the date.
Okay, so you don't, that's the difference. You don't actually intend to pay.
No,
right?
So like, okay, let's say we're on the date. All if right. you're watching on YouTube, you can see me do this. So like, okay, we're on the date, the check comes, you're the guy, I'm the girl.
Right.
The check comes, they usually put it in front of the man, right? So right. they put it in front of you, like receive the check.
Yeah.
Like, but like act like they just put it in front okay. of you, okay? And like take the check.
Okay.
Then I'm like... And then, so basically what I did was just like look towards my bag.
Right.
The guy should be like, oh, no, don't even think about it.
Right.
Then we're on the second date and then the check comes again.
Right.
And I do like a similar and they're okay. like, no. Right. At this point, now let's say this happens again on a third date. At this point, if this guy wants to date me, which he probably knows by the third date, at least like right. if he wants to keep seeing me.
Right.
He's going to be like, you don't have to, like, just don't even reach. Like, I got this from now on. You know what I mean?
He should say. It's like a conversation.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Yeah,
so
like, that's a good point. Okay.
But like, until he says that, I'm going to reach at least.
And you're testing kind of the what? That's interesting. Okay. I didn't
exactly.
think. Because I had just operated, obviously, with my, like, I just like don't even flinch. I'm just like.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
For so long that it was never a conversation. But interesting. So it's more just like a gesture.
It's just a gesture.
It's just a gesture. Yeah, so you're not like intending to. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. I'm not like, take my card.
But I have friends who.
Split it.
But I have friends who insist because they don't. And I get this, you know, argument too. It's like, you know, opposing ideas can both be true. I have friends who are like, you know, I don't want to owe him anything. So if I pay for my half of the date, I don't feel like I owe him a second date if I don't want to go out with him again.
Yeah, if you don't like the guy, pay for the date. Like, pay twice, whatever you have to do, you know? But
yeah.
I think if you do like them, then you shouldn't be worried about owing them anything, because if they're the type of guy that's going to hold it over your head, then they're absolute trash. Yeah. And
wait, but has any guy ever taken you up on the offer to pay?
Yeah, for sure. And then I never saw them again.
That's good.
Yeah.
See, I never. And so maybe that's why I ended up dating a ton of wrong men, because I never tested them. So maybe there were like half of the men that like would have taken me up on that offer, and I would have never seen them.
But they're seething that like you never reach. But it's so funny, because it's like, I feel like the beginning, like the first few dates set the tone for the relationship.
Yes.
And so if you allow them to have you split it, let's say on the first date, or even let you pay for it completely, which is absurdity.
We need to find these women and just smack them. Like, you are worth.
Yeah, you're worth a few drinks at least. But anyway, like, that sets the tone. So then the rest of the relationship, they're like, you know, everything is like, oh, we split. I actually remember one time I was on a date and we split it.
Okay.
And I was preparing to never see him again. And the waitress came up to me when he was in the bathroom, and she was like, you shouldn't be splitting this shit. Like,
you
could definitely find a guy that will pay for your date. And I was like, yes, bitch, you're fucking right. You know, like, what am I doing?
That's insane. But did the date go well otherwise?
Yeah, but that just left such a sour taste in my mouth. Like,
I know.
I just, because it, to me, it speaks to how they were raised. And like, 100%. That is something you can't undo. That's like in their DNA, that's in their makeup. Like, that just gets worse with age.
And I always think it's not about the money. It is about what the money represents. And like, something my dad always taught me, like growing up, he was like, cheap men who are cheap with their money are also cheap with their time, their emotions. They tend to be more selfish if they can't, you know, if they don't see you as valuable enough to spend like $50 on in a date, like, how are they going to value all that you do later down the line? You know, women, especially women who have careers and children, we still bear most of the work for the children, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you want a guy who's going to be your partner. You don't want a guy who's going to be like, well, like, I know you work and like your income matters to our bottom line, but also I think you should just, you know, take care of our kids.
Right.
You know?
Totally. And I think that people get so angry because they think that that's like my philosophy on everything. Like, no, it's just fucking dinners. I'm paying for my life with my husband.
No,
it's not like I'm just like, oh yeah, and all my income goes to Birkins. Like, no. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm paying for our apartment too.
Yeah.
I'm paying for our vacations too. Like,
The gesture at dinner. Think it's so, like, I take him out like once a year for his birthday and like that. But now when you're married, it's like, what does it even matter? Like,
yeah, totally.
And he keeps his wallet at dinner in my bag because like he doesn't want to like keep it. So it's like, so I pull his wallet out of my bag and I give it to him.
Yeah. Okay, we need to talk about your rule of not having sex until exclusive or official, whatever.
Right.
That would scare the shit out of me, because there have been many a time where I've waited, you know, 5 or 6 days to have sex. We have sex and it's horrible. It's horrific. Or like, they have such a small dick.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I'm just being honest.
That is amazing.
That like, I cannot make it work. And there's no like motion in the ocean, and like,
really,
there's no reviving what they've got.
Interesting.
And then I'm like, done. I'm totally done. I'm turned off and I can't move forward and date them. So like, what if I waited until someone was like, Lindsay, will you be my girlfriend? I'm like, yeah. And I'll meet your family and love you. And then we have sex and I'm like, oh God, this is horrific.
I mean, look, I just never had that situation happen to me. And like, I think maybe it's like, I don't know. Like, I fully believe that that's a thing. Like, you connect really well with somebody and then you like jump into bed with him and you're just like, oh my God. But like, for me, it was always about the emotional attachment first. And I'm not saying the way like you did it was, it's like, oh, you know, you're devoid of emotion. You like have sex like a man. It's just, I got burned so many times jumping into bed with somebody too early that I was like, I have girlfriends who can like hook up with guys and be like, I don't feel anything. You know, I'm not that type of person. If I'm going to do that with a guy, it's like I've already, you know, sort of attached emotionally. And I remember having that rule pretty early on in my early 20s. And then I had like a, you know, almost 2-year relationship. And then I got back in the dating scene and I broke my rule once for this guy because I was like, he was so good to me. He was so, you know, kind and caring. I was like, there's no way he's going to hurt me, right? I'm just going to have sex with him. And he love bombed me and he ghosted me. And it was like it was so traumatizing because I was like, it makes you question like your judgment and everything. And so for me, it was just like, you know, I think like the physical part comes secondary to the emotional part. And I've just never had an issue with it. So, yeah. You know, I think if I had a terrible experience with it, I'd probably try and find a happy medium because there is a happy medium. But for me, it was always the opposite. It was like, oh, we had great chemistry, you know, physically, emotionally, and now he's gone.
Yeah, I hear you. But like for that case where you broke your rule and slept with them, how many dates in was it?
I think it was like 4 dates or something, 3 or 4 dates. And the dates were, you know, looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. It was like I should have realized that he was love bombing me in the moment. But again, it was like there was no term for love bombing. And like after the first date, this guy would text me like morning till night, like every hour. And like I was like, he's so into me, right? And I'm so into him. And it was to the point where I was like, I don't even know how he gets any work done. He had like a pretty, you know, legit career. But, you know, I was like, there's no way he's going to hurt me. And he did.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I just think that like waiting like 6+ dates is like foolproof from my experience. And maybe like I'm just, good at sex. But do you know what I mean? It's I feel like I think we have the same idea behind it, which is like you want there to be an emotional connection first,
right?
Not just from you, from them.
Yes.
You want them to be emotionally invested and like really like you, really like your personality, because guys at the end of the day, like you were saying how he was like hitting you up literally all day in the beginning, like before they get sex, which unfortunately is like what they're programmed to try to get, like as like, you know, an animalistic, whatever. They will like go, they'll do anything. They'll say anything, whatever.
Right.
But then I feel like in that process, like if you spend enough time together, they realize, okay, well, obviously I want to fuck her, but I also like didn't realize how thoughtful she was. I also didn't realize how funny she is. I'm starting to really get like attached to her personality.
Right.
And I think that is like the real goal when like, I hate the word withholding because you're not withholding, but like when not having sex with someone yet is like getting them to realize how great you are without the sex.
Right.
And then I feel like once you feel comfortable, once you feel like in your heart, this guy's going to text me tomorrow no matter what. And I know it's confusing because you felt like that with that guy.
Right.
But like once you feel that way, then you can sleep with them. But I don't know. I mean, it's always hard.
I think it's like, and I totally agree with you. It's like they should want everything. They shouldn't just want just the physical or the emotional. And I think when you're dealing with men who are evolved and, you know, not insecure, that is what happens. I mean, think about, I'm sure with your husband, it's like, you know, oh, it wasn't like one or the other. It was just sort of a, you know, a natural progression. Both things sort of progress at the same time. But I think there's a lot of men that walk around New York, especially that feel mature, look mature, you know, and are just not, you know? And I think that's what I was trying to weed out. And there were a couple guys that I was just like, I think why that situation was so scarring to me, because like there were a couple guys that I dated where I was like, I know they're just out for the physical aspect. And yeah, we have a good rapport. And sometimes I feel like he cares about me, but I never hooked up with them because I was like, I just know. And then eventually they got tired of waiting around because they didn't care enough about the emotional aspect. And so they left. And so I think with this guy, it was like, you know, and it wasn't like he ghosted me after we hooked up. It was, he kept up with like the texting and everything. It was actually, he ghosted me on Valentine's Day.
Shut the fuck up.
Until 11:30 p.m. He was like, hey, crazy day. How was your day? And I was just like, it was the most scarring like day of my life. Cause like, you know, when you're dating and you've literally spent the last 6 weeks like texting this guy all day, every day, and Valentine's you know, radio yeah. silence.
And you know there's a shift. And also like, yeah. and I actually did a TikTok on this recently, like men know that it's Valentine's Day.
I just saw
all these women reach out to me. Do you think he's gonna bring it up? Do you think he knows? Girl, he knows.
He knows.
Like he just knew it was Valentine's Day in January.
I know.
That Valentine's Day was, he's been into a CVS before. He has seen the balloons and the hearts and the cards. Like he, unless he's blind,
heart, yeah, like, he's, you know, seen, canisters.
Even if he's blind, he's, you know, yeah. he knows it's fucking Valentine's Day.
I mean, and I think that's the thing. It's because I called him out on it. I was like, what the heck? You know, just completely, you know, radio silence on Valentine's Day. He's like, yeah. And that's the conversation that led to, you know, I didn't want to do anything for Valentine's Day because they didn't want you to think we were like in a relationship. I was like, then what have we been doing for the
Triggered,
last 6 months?
Honestly.
I'm like, oh, okay. So this is what you do for everybody you're right. not in a relationship with? Cool, thanks.
But it's like, what's worse? And I'm actually genuinely curious yeah. because I've had guys like bring me flowers on Valentine's Day or do mm-hmm. a Valentine's Day thing with me who also didn't want something serious. So it's like, right. would you rather someone bring you flowers knowing that they do not want to date you? Just because, like, it's the good guy move or, like, straight up be honest. And this is a good poll question. Remind me to ask yeah. after. Or straight up be honest and be like, hey, I don't want to celebrate Valentine's Day because it gives you the wrong message. But, like, if you want to fuck, call me. Like,
you know what?
Which would you respect more?
I would respect the latter, but that's not what this guy did.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
chose to completely ignore it and hope that I somehow forgot that it was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know, and if I never brought it up, he would have never brought it up. I'm sure he would have just happily, you know, non-exclusively dated me. So I think be honest, but be honest before Valentine's Day. Like, what yeah. is this? And I've told this story before on my TikTok, and so many women are like, I got dumped or I got ghosted on Valentine's Day. I think it's something about the holidays that really, like, you know, make people realize, okay, like, am I? And it's so dumb, right? Because it's like Valentine's, like, who cares, you know? Yeah. But I think it's something about the holidays where people are like, oh, like, if I celebrate Valentine's Day with this girl, it means I want to marry her.
Yeah, it's like a relationship marker.
Marker, right.
I broke up with someone on Valentine's Day.
Why?
Because
I'm so curious.
Well, first of all, like, I had been wanting to kind of end it right. for a while. But then I woke up that morning and he was, like, hungover in my bed, fucking... not even, like, I knew for a fact that he had not ordered flowers. He had not done oh. shit.
Well, that's a little different. And that's because he screwed up.
It's not even he screwed up. Like, it was Valentine's Day that made me realize I deserve better.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was like, understood. I should be waking up. I shouldn't be, like, waking him up. He should yes. be waking me up.
With
this is
flowers,
a woman's
breakfast
holiday.
In bed.
I need
yes.
breakfast in bed. I need flowers. I need, you know, something. Like, I shouldn't have to, like, shake him up and be like, hey, babe, did you order flowers yet? You know, like, I'm yeah. not your fucking mom.
100%. But that's because, you know, it was because you realized your worth. I feel like so often, like, the trope is, like, the men break up with women on Valentine's Day because they knew for the previous 3 months that it, like, you know, they had no intention of committing to the woman. And it's like they were happy to lead them on up until Valentine's Day. Right.
right? And
whereas
then,
you
like,
were
once
just like, I'm
to...
not being valued. I'm out. That's,
right.
You know.
Right. And once they have to like do something,
I know.
It's like when they break up with you on your birthday or right before, they're like, I'm not going to get the gift. And actually, in addition to not getting the gifts, I'm going to break her heart and ruin her life.
Exactly.
The worst. Okay. Two more questions. And then I'm going to do some rapid fire.
Cool.
Okay. This one I really love. Somebody asked, what is your advice for getting out of your head and just letting life happen with dating?
I think you need, as a woman, to realize that your life is comprised of so many different components. It's comprised of your family, your friends, your career, what you like to do outside of your job. And like for me in my 20s, the moment I realized that I had worth outside of who wanted me was the moment like everything shifted for me and I met my husband, because it's truly like, I think we are just taught from a very young age as women that who wants us is our value, right? It's like Disney princesses. And I think they're like way more woke now, like the new Disney princesses. But it's like we're so often taught that our life begins when somebody picks us. And, you know, coming from the other side, it's like, you know, my life didn't get magically fixed because I met my husband. You know, it's just find what really makes you tick. Like, find a career that you're passionate about. Find a career that, you know, makes you money so that you can be financially free. I think that's so important. The amount of women who are trapped in relationships because they don't have any money and anywhere to go is scary, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's when you really love your life outside of your relationship, the relationship that's meant for you will come. Not like, oh, you know, I'm going to pick up, you know, this hobby that I feel like I should do because, you know, it's like, oh, I hate, you know, running, but I'm going to join a running club because I feel like it looks good on a dating app or whatever. Figure out what it is you like to do because everybody's got interests. You know, men are always taught that they're allowed to have careers, families, they can have it all, right? And like women can have it all too, truly.
Yeah, I love that. Should have left on that note. That was a good right? one. Okay, last question before rapid fire. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to have too high of standards?
Yes, with the caveat that I find that most women do not. And I think most women use the my standards were too high as an excuse to, you know, ignore bad behavior. Look, if your standards are, I absolutely want a billionaire who looks like Liam Hemsworth, who, you know, speaks 8,000 languages. Yeah. Like, and there are a very small percentage of women that I'm like, your standards are impossible. You know, it's like nobody is perfect. But for the most part, women are pretty reasonable. And like, every time they're like, oh, well, I just, and I've said this before to myself, it's like, well, like, you know, I shouldn't expect him to, you know, fill in the blank. Like that was on, it's no, it's like, actually you should expect him to text you, you know, within a reasonable amount of time. It's like, oh, you know, it's like he waited 9 hours to text me back. No one is that busy. Okay. Right. Like just no one's that busy.
No one.
Yeah.
Okay. Rapid fire poll questions. You might have answered these already, but now we're, we're really answering them. Do you tell your significant other confidential work stuff? Yes or no?
No.
That makes one of us. After how many dates / hangouts is it normal to hang out together and not fully hook up? Oh, 5 to 7, 8 to 10, 11 to 14, or 15 plus?
Say that again. Sorry.
After how many dates is it normal to hang out together but like not have sex?
Oh, it's different for everyone. I can't, you know, I think it's like so detrimental sometimes to put like a number on it because I find, you know, and some people, their faith comes into play. So it's whatever makes you comfortable. If you're not hooking up after 15 dates because you're, you know, that's what your religion, you know, requires.
No, but this is more like you've already had sex. You've already slept together. And then like you hang, you know, like the first time you hang out.
I'm totally not reading this question.
No, you're fine. Like, I was like, what this answer is so PC. Like the first time that you hang out and don't have sex, but you've already had sex before. You know, when you just like cuddle and go to bed?
If the first time you have sex and the next time you're not like itching to have sex again, that's a red flag.
Yeah. Agreed. You know? Agreed. I would say, I don't know, 15, after like 15 dates, you can hang out. Like you can hang out and not have sex and that's normal, but like you should be wanting to like keep your hands on each other at all times.
Exactly, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on, guys. It's not like, you know, 30 years into a marriage.
Right. If someone ends things with you after just a few dates, like, you know, past you, do you normally feel it coming or are you surprised?
Most of the time, I think you can feel it coming.
Yeah.
After a few dates.
Mm-hmm. When you end things after a few dates, do you feel like it surprises the other person or they know it's coming?
It's been so damn long. I think they know it's coming.
For me, it always surprised them because I'm such a Libra that I was like so sweet and charming with them. And then all of a sudden I was like, by the way, I'm done with you. Is it valid or dramatic to want to move cities away from your ex?
It's valid, but it's not necessary.
Mm.
I think, you know, I never left New York, even though there were so many times where I was like, I hate this person and I don't want to see them on the street. But like, I love the city. If there's something else about the city you don't like, yeah, sure. Use an excuse to leave.
Do you find the trend of guys wearing pearl necklaces cute or weird?
That's a trend?
I don't know, apparently.
Oh my God. I need to see if that's bizarre. Sorry,
okay, so you say weird. Okay.
Yeah.
So do most people. After how many dates would you expect them to do something for Valentine's Day? 1 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 8, or not until official?
3 to 5 if it's going well and Valentine's Day like bumps up into your dating timeline. Mm. Because it's just Valentine's Day. Who cares? You can break up if you did something on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. No, it's true. If you met your significant other through dating apps, which you did you feel like it was going to turn into something before the first date when still messaging, or did you not know until you met?
Oh, I absolutely had no idea before we met. I was like this. I didn't even want to go on the first date. Yeah. I was so tired. It wasn't because I didn't like him.
Yeah.
It was
just you didn't know him. But that's also because why I say like go on the date. Like don't judge a man's photos, because as you mentioned, like men do not take good photos.
No. And you know what? I'm also a little sus of the men who take really good photos. And they're
so
like
sus.
Super modeling.
No.
I'm like,
I don't need your headshots.
I don't need a guy who's more into their appearances than I am.
Yeah,
like, let that
not.
Be my role.
Exactly. When at dinner, would you rather sit next to your significant other or across from each other?
Across.
Me too. Okay. Have you, well, the answer is yes already. I know that. It's going to be, have you formed a serious relationship from a dating app? okay. And if you're single, okay, well, nope, because you're not. Your coworker sends his coworker sends your husband heart emojis responding to his messages on Slack. Is that inappropriate or no big deal?
His coworker. Okay, so let's say Dave had a coworker. It's so funny. Yeah. He works with all men, so that would never happen. Nah. I'm trying to, his coworker is sending him flirty text messages or messages on Slack.
I think just hearting to react to his message. I don't think that's a big deal.
I don't think that's a big deal.
Do you have your significant other on your private story?
Dave doesn't have social media.
Oh, isn't that the fucking best?
It's amazing.
That's the real biggest green flag. Do you feel like you dress your age? Yes or no?
Sometimes yes and sometimes absolutely no. I feel like sometimes I'm like all about like Lily Pulitzer, and other times I just like wear like, you know, leather and I don't even know. My style is all over the place.
You had a great date and he was interested in a second date and has been consistently texting you ever since, but he hasn't made another plan. It's been a week. Should you give it more time or move on?
A week, yeah, that's fine. I mean, Dave and I, we had a very long window between our first and second date because he was traveling for work. It was like right around Memorial Day. So give it like 2 weeks. If after that there's no initiative, it's not like, hey, I'm trying to make a plan, then just let it go.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Can you leave us with a quote or piece of advice?
Yes. I truly believe that like there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. If you bring your own lighter, I say that all the time. And I think, you know, no matter what situation you're in, like as a woman, like I want people to know like you can get yourself out of it. You don't need, you know, a guy or anything like that. It's just no matter how heartbroken you are, like you have everything within you.
To move on. That's beautiful. Where can everyone find you, follow you, and just get all your content?
You can find me on TikTok. My handle's at maybe both styles, and Instagram is at maybe both.
Love it. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.